All right, now, I want to say this. These principles and practices of prayer, the first one. There is a problem for prayer. The problem for prayer. It says here in the first reading, in those days, Amalek came and waged war against Israel. Now, there's a problem. Now, first of all, anyone had a few battles and weapons waged against you? Come on. This world sometimes seems to go to war with us and people we love. There are problems that come up in life. There are battles to be fought, battles to be endured. There are struggles and trials and difficulties. Church, there's problems in our life. Amen? And you know, I want to just say to you that some folks, if they didn't have any problems, wouldn't pray at all. Sometimes, I'm not saying the only reason, but I'm just going to say one of the reasons I think God allows us a few problems in life is that's the only way that some of us are ever going to get on our knees and say, help! We can go through life so self-assured, you know, with the swagger. I got it all under control, and that's pride, you know, and if you don't get over that, you go right to hell with pride, you know? Sometimes the Lord needs to let us experience a few problems to remind us that everything in the end depends on Him, and that no matter how much we think we got everything under control, that's an illusion. Because it all depends on God and an awful lot of other things, like the next beat of your heart. So problems have a way of drawing us to the Lord. But the second point I want to make about problems is make sure when you have problems that you pray. You know, an awful lot of people will run in 18 different directions trying to solve a problem, and it finally occurs to them to pray. Pray first. And God might show you, hey, you can go here, I want you to reach out, but go to the Lord and pray. But church, there's any number of problems that are going to come up in life. And the Lord permits them for many reasons, to strengthen us, to challenge us, to steel our faith, you know, to make it stronger, to do all kinds of things for us. But one of the things is that it keeps us in that conversation with Him. You know, there's an old song by Mahalia Jackson, Lord, don't move my mountain, but give me the strength to climb it. And one of the verses says, the way may not be easy, but you never said that it would be. But if my way gets a little too easy, Lord, I tend to stray from Thee. One of the Psalms says, before I was afflicted, I strayed, but now I keep Your word. So again, one of the purposes of problems in our life is to keep us in that conversation with the Lord. I'm not saying He sends them, I'm just saying He permits them and keeps us in that conversation. So the first thing I want you to notice today in these readings is that there is a problem for prayer. Now the second thing I want you to notice is that there is a priority to prayer. Notice the text says, Moses therefore said to Joshua, pick out certain men, and I want you to go tomorrow and engage Amalek in battle. And I'll be standing on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So again, it says, Joshua did as Moses told him. And he engaged Amalek in the battle after Moses had climbed to the top of the hill with Aaron and Hur. That one little word, after. There is a priority to prayer. Too many of us do prayer like a rear guard action. We tried everything else, now let's try prayer. We've gone down a certain path that we didn't pray about in the first place, and now we're asking God to clean up the mess we've made. Church, I'm amazed at how many people will often come to me with major decisions in their life. Like, Father, we're going to get married. That's great. Have you prayed about it? Did you talk to God about it? What do you mean? Talk to God about it? Father, we're in love. Anyone ever been in love? That doesn't mean you ought to get married. You might just need to get over it. All right. Now, love is a very beautiful thing, don't get me wrong, but being, quote, in love, it's got to be. But you see, they come and say, well, look, we're going to spend the next 6 months discerning and praying. I want you to know what marriage really is, and I want you to pray together, and I want you to seek God's will, and I want you to listen to His word. And if at the end of that 6 months you still want to walk the aisle, good. I know you're engaged. I know you sent out the invitations, but guess what? We really need to bring this to God. Folks who come to me and they talk about, hey, you know, my kid's going to this college or that college, or we're going to move from this town to that city in the next state, and big moves, big career things, accepting promotions. And I say, great. Have you prayed about it? Does God want you to take the promotion? That might mean more money, but it also might mean more time at work, less time with your children, less time for prayer. It might mean some significant things. It's not all about money. But you see, we just make these decisions. Do you have in your life a priority for prayer? A big decision has to be made. I don't mean you need to pray at the stoplight, should I turn right or not? But the big things in life, we ought to be taking to God and saying, is this what you want for me? The boss says I'm going to get this new promotion, but it might also lead me to make some compromises in my Christian walk. Do you want that? What do you want for me here, Lord? See? And so again, prayer has to have a priority. So Moses says, Amalek, we've got an important, he says we've got to engage Amalek in this battle. So Joshua, I want you to muster the troops, but don't you dare go out onto that field until after I'm at the top of that hill with my hands raised in prayer. And so Joshua went out after. Moses goes up and raises his hands, and the battle is engaged. There is a priority for prayer. Don't put prayer down on the list. It's at the top of the list. Now, the third thing I want you to see about prayer, not only is there a problem for prayer and a priority for prayer, but there is a power in prayer. The text says, Moses, as long as he kept his hands raised up, Israel had the better of the fight. But when he let his hands rest, Amalek had the better of the fight. Church, I want you to know something. Prayer changes things. And not praying has bad effects. You got to hear them both. Prayer changes things. Now, I want you to know that prayer does change things, but not always in the most obvious ways. You know, there's a lot of hidden stuff that goes on that God sees and the angels see, but you and I don't see. You might say, I prayed and nothing happened. You are not the judge of that. You have no idea what you're talking about. Well, I prayed for this and it didn't happen. Again, you have no idea. I think one of the joys of heaven that we're going to have is that when we get there, we're going to just see what a difference our prayer made. Even little distracted prayers, where we were hardly thinking, but we were praying. And the Lord said, well, I know it's a kind of a feeble prayer, but let's take that and use it. Someone will come up to you in heaven and say, you never knew me on earth, and I never knew you. But one day, you knelt in Holy Comforter Church, and you prayed for the conversion of sinners. Well, God took that prayer and applied it to me. And I converted, and I'm here today because you prayed. Church, you just don't know what prayer can do. And what, well, how bad it is if we don't pray. See? So I'm just going to say to you, prayer has a power. It's not always an obvious power to us, but I tell you, there are amazing things going on behind the scenes that our prayers are accomplishing. I've told you this image before, that there are two very important buildings on East Capitol Street. Now, one of them is the United States Capitol. It's up there at the end of the block, I believe. You may have noticed it. And there's another building called Holy Comfort of St. Cyprian Catholic Church, and we're also on East Capitol. Now, the things that are accomplished in the second most important building on East Capitol Street are only possible because at the most important building on East Capitol Street, some folks is praying, all right? And we are mindful of the need to pray. Saint Paul says, pray for those in authority. You know, we like to criticize quickly, don't we? But do we pray? You know, I want them to run a perfect government up the street, but I don't run a perfect parish. Do you run a perfect family? You got it all perfectly laid out? You never overspend, do you? Well, all right now. I'm just going to say, St. Paul says, would you please tell everybody to pull up their hands and just pray for those in authority so we can live a peaceable and a godly life? You know, a lot depends on those decisions they make, for better or worse. But if we're not praying, ain't nothing happening up there. Because this is the most important building on East Capitol Street. So, brothers and sisters, you see, prayer, essential, important, and has a power. Prayer changes things. And we don't know even a little scintilla of the real stuff that prayer does. So never forget, there's a power to prayer. And you don't get to say what that power is, but there is a power. It simply says here, as long as Moses kept his hands up, the battle was engaged, and it went well for Israel. When his hands began to droop, battle went poorly. Pay attention. An awful lot of human history is depending on whether you and I choose to pray or not. So easy for us to criticize, but have you prayed? So, all of these are ways of reminders of saying there is a power in prayer, and there is a dreadful lack of power if we don't pray. Now, the third or the fourth one I want to say, we've seen that there's a problem for prayer. Problems help keep us praying. There's a priority. Prayer has to come first before we rush to solutions and make big decisions. There is a power to prayer. There is also a partnership for prayer. It says here in the text that Moses' hands, however, grew tired. It's hard to keep your hands lifted up all day long. Moses' hands grew tired. So they put a rock in place for him, and Aaron and Hur held up his hands in the battle, or held up each arm in the battle. So who's your Aaron and Hur? Who are your prayer partners? Are you going to be Mr. Lone Ranger? Catwoman. Are you gonna be part of a team? See, we have to realize that we need help when it comes to prayer. You know, there's some women in this parish that almost every day of the week get on a conference call and they pray together. They're praying for you. They're praying for me. They're praying for each other. And if one of them falls, they've got five or six other women to help pick them up. Book of Ecclesiastes in the fourth chapter says, woe to the solitary man. If he falls, he has no one to raise him up. Who are your prayer warriors? There's a woman I know who's not a member of this parish, but she called me last night in a great crisis. And I was able to speak to her about the matter at some length. But I had to finally say to her, now, who are two of your closest friends that you need to pick up the phone right now and call about this? Don't make this journey alone. And so she emailed me this morning and she said, I am so glad you told me to do that. I'm so glad. Because my two friends came and they supported me in the moment. And there's a way forward now, Father. Who are your prayer partners? Who are those people in your life that you can turn to when things get tough? And they may not even be able to do a lot to help you, but they can sure hold up your arms while you pray. And they can pray for you. So again, Moses has Aaron and Hur. Who do you have? Prayer is meant to be a partnership. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name, says the Lord, that's where I am. I'm struggling to find Jesus. Grab yourself a couple prayer partners and you know by faith he's right there. Another text says that, here I want to quote it, it's from Matthew 18. It says, likewise I tell you, that if any two of you on earth agree about something that you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father. I had a woman call me a few weeks ago and she said, I need someone to agree with me in prayer. Will you agree? And she said, if you and I agree, then the Lord's going to listen. So I said, well, let me find out what I'm agreeing to first. You see, because sometimes we're not praying rightly. The book of James says you have not because you ask not. But then it goes on to add, however, some of the stuff you're asking for, you ought not be asking for. So sometimes a good prayer partner, a good spiritual partner can help you that way, see? Help you to fine-tune your prayer, be open to other blessings that might come. So you see the vision here? To agree with somebody in prayer and bring it to the Lord. To discern together and multiply your prayer is power. Get some prayer partners. So we've seen again the problem for prayer. We've seen that there's a priority for prayer. There's a power in prayer and a great loss in not praying. And that there's a partnership in prayer. Now two more and then we're done. Next, notice that there's a persistence to prayer. A persistence. The text says, after Moses or Aaron and Hur are helping him keep his hands lifted up, it simply says here, therefore Moses' hands remained steady until sunset. His hands remained steady until sunset. Now, I don't know, brothers and sisters, that we've talked about this in previous weeks, why God sometimes says wait. Why doesn't God just give me what I need when I need it? I just said it. Yeah, I should get it instantly. There's a lot of reasons, but at the end, there's a mystery, too. We don't always know why he says wait. I just know this, and you parents know this, that if you give your kids everything they want, exactly when they ask for it, when they want it, they get spoiled, and they don't even appreciate what you give them. And they start asking for stuff they don't really need, and so on. So there's a lot of problems with just giving whatever we want exactly when we want it and the way we want it and with a big red bow on it. It's just not helpful. God wants to sometimes ask us to stay and live some of our questions. He wants us to stay a bit in the struggle, and there's something about repeated prayer that God asks us. Keep praying. Persist. Pray until sunset. Now, the sunset here means the very end of your life, to your last breath, you pray. Friday night, I was with the family of Charles Cottrell. Mr. Cottrell has been an incredible warrior, a prayer warrior in this church for many, many a year. We celebrated, my gosh, all those many years of marriage not so long ago, and Charles had a stroke about 4 months ago, and he's gone steadily downhill. But I want you to know that he came to this church long after it was easy to get to this church. He came to this front pew with that Holy Name Society. He was blind. He couldn't see for the last 10 years. And he came in this church, and by God, he sat in this pew, and he prayed until sunset. And I was with him that on Friday night, and he died just last night. We were gathered there praying for a man who had prayed for us when it was hard, and he prayed for us. So we were there praying for him. And I'm just going to say to you, he prayed until sunset, and he was in a coma, but I somehow knew he was praying with us all the way till sunset. Don't you ever stop praying. Don't you ever give up until sunset. You say, but I prayed and it didn't happen. You, first of all, you don't know that. And secondly, I've reaped some harvest. And the seeds of that harvest were planted by people who are long since dead from this world. I've had people knock on that rectory door that says, my wife died 30 years ago. She prayed for my conversion, and I've come to give my life to Jesus. She prayed till sunset and didn't see the harvest. And I brought in a harvest. I didn't plant the seeds. And she planted those seeds and watered them with her tears. And 30 years later, a man knocks on the door. I could tell you dozens of stories like that. Don't you ever conclude your prayer isn't working. Don't you ever conclude that I don't need to persist and persevere. You know, frankly, let's be honest. One of the reasons our prayers don't always work is that God is dealing with some pretty tough characters. Some of us are pretty stubborn. I want you to know something. I am the result of prayer. I didn't always know the Lord. I went through my rebellious phase. I'm an atheist. I was a convenient atheist. You know, God's moral vision didn't comport with my life. But my mom started praying, and my grandmother started to go on the beads, and my long hair started to get a little shorter, and I started to trim it up, and learned to put on a necktie, and I found my way back to God's house. Now, I'm a stubborn man, forehead of brass, neck of iron. So it took a few extra prayers to get to me. Are you praying with me? Listen, God's dealing with some stubborn folks that we love. And now, I know you're not stubborn, but God's dealing with some stubborn folks you're praying for. But you keep praying until sunset, because some folks are a hard case and God needs extra prayers. But don't give up. Don't ever give up. Pray until sunset. There's this wonderful story about the judge in the gospel. By the way, some people say, did Jesus ever tell jokes? I don't see any jokes in the Bible. This is a funny story. Jesus says, listen, he says, there was a judge. It's a very Jewish parable. There was a judge, and he neither feared God nor man. And there's this widow. And she comes after him day after day. I demand justice from you against my opponent. And day after day, the judge says, go away, old woman. But finally, the judge says, I will render for this woman, or she will end up by giving me a black eye. The Greek literally says black eye. And then Jesus says, pay attention to what the unjust judge says. Because if this crazy widow gets what she wants after persisting, how much more so your father, who is not a grouchy judge, will give you what you ask for day and night. He's teaching them about persisting in prayer. Sometimes it just takes that. Promise me that you'll never give up. And like Moses, you get some prayer partners to help you, but you'll never give up, and you'll pray till sunset. To the last breath, you're praying. You're praying. The final thing to say about prayer today, we've seen that there are problems that often summon us to prayer, and that there's a priority we need to give to prayer. We've seen that there is a power that comes from prayer, often hidden. Prayer changes things. We've seen that there's a partnership that we need in prayer, and that there's a persistence. Finally, this, and I've really already developed it, so I'll just state it and we're done. There's a product to prayer. The text says, rather darkly, it simply says that, and Joshua mowed down Amalek with the edge of the sword. In other words, though, every battle in your life, if you're praying, the victory is already yours. He's already acquired the victory. It's just a question of how he's going to apply it. The victory will be yours if you pray. The victory is already won by Jesus. So just lay hold of it through prayer. Say, Lord, I don't know how you're going to apply this or when, but I just know this. My prayer will purchase the victory by your grace. There is a product to prayer. And you and I have a choice to make every day. Will we pray or not? Will we lift up our heart and our mind? Will we pay attention to God and will we give him our needs? Or will we just become cynical? Ah, it's awful out there. Some people's children, this whole world's going to heck. Well, that's fine. Well, not fine, but I mean, people talk like that. But have you prayed? The beatitude to finish with is simply this: blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. You see, what the text is really saying is, who are those who mourn? Those who mourn, it's not referring to my stock portfolio is down and my new car got scratched. That's not the beatitude, all right? Those who mourn are those who see the awful state of God's people. That many of them are suffering, that many of them are lost, that they don't know where they're going, that they're not glorifying God, and they mourn. But that isn't just a depression. It's a mournful praying. Help, Lord. Help us, Lord. Save us. Have mercy on us. Spare us, O Lord. Mercy, Lord. For the sake of your sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. In atonement for our sins, I offer you the precious blood of your Son. Lord, please spare our old hell-bound, sin-soaked world. Oh, we have such need. Those who mourn are those who don't just say, ain't it awful, some people's children. They are those who see the awful state of the world and they pray. Blessed, blessed are those who pray, who mourn and pray. They will be comforted. They will be strengthened. That's the beatitude. There is a product to prayer. And God will deliver so many souls in ways you don't know simply because we pray. Somebody prayed for me, had me on her mind, took the time and prayed for me. I'm so glad my mama and my grandma prayed for me. I'm so glad they prayed.